Good morning. My name is Daniel, and I'm a pastor at Meridian Church of God. This is the first Sunday that our church has not been able to meet due to the coronavirus pandemic. And I'm nervous. I'm concerned about what is happening in the world, just like everyone else. So I hope I don't come across as insensitive. But what I am nervous about in this moment is talking with you. It's more difficult for me to talk into a mic and look at no one than it is for me to stand up on a platform and talk with a crowd of people. There's something about this that plays to my insecurities, so if you don't mind, even though we can't see each other right now, please give me an encouraging smile or look like you are interested in what I have to say. Someone once wrote to people who were struggling and said, "Let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another." Well, we've had to give up meeting together, and I miss that encouragement we give each other. I especially miss laughing together. Now, I admit, I don't think I have anything funny to say, but feel free to laugh at me. Even if you're making fun of me, that laughter may give this insecure speaker some of the encouragement he needs right now. Over the past several days, we have seen the power of the unseen. With the naked eye, no one can see the coronavirus, and yet the virus has been a force that has been causing a lot of suffering and shaping what people in our country and all over the world are doing and not doing. Many people are stuck, isolated in quarantine. Schools are closed. Restaurant dining rooms are closed. Offices are closed. Church buildings are closed. And even some states right now seem to be closed. We've been asked by public officials not to gather in large groups because of something that we can't see. Right now, it's easy to be fixated on the negative impact of the virus. But today, we are going to try to look at some good news. Before we do, I want to say that if you are not a Christian, I'm glad that you're listening. I want you to know that we, as a church, respect you and your views, and we are thankful for you and hope that what you hear from us is helpful to you in some way. Jesus, along with other Jewish prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, talked about having eyes but not the ability to see and having ears but not the ability to hear. With these comments, Jesus and the other prophets were not talking about physical sight or hearing. They were talking about the ability to see the unseen and perceive beyond the senses. Today, we are going to focus on two early followers of Jesus who had interesting things to say about seeing the unseen. The first person we are going to hear from is someone who we don't know his or her name. In the days after Jesus left this earth, the number of his followers grew rapidly, and as the message started spreading all over the world, many of the first century Christians started facing severe tests. And this unnamed person decided to write a letter to encourage those suffering to keep persevering. Because although they were on a heavenly journey, first they had to undergo trials. This letter ended up being effective in spreading hope, and it was preserved by the church and included in the New Testament. We call this letter Hebrews, and I've already referenced it in talking about let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another. And I pray that we're encouraged by these words. Listen to these famous words from Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This letter was written to people who were scattered in small clusters, much as we are. They were a tiny minority who believed something strange, that a controversial Jewish rabbi who had been executed by Roman authorities had come back to life, and is the Lord who is worthy of being followed. That is very strange and hard to believe. Now, if you were looking at all this from a merely human point of view, it doesn't look good for the earlier disciples of Jesus. They had many factors working against them, and the odds of this message spreading and this movement taking off were slim. The first century Christians faced overwhelming challenges, and so the author of Hebrews is challenging them to look beyond what they can see. Now, 2,000 years later, on the other side of the world, we have the benefit of hindsight. we can see that their faith paid off. We can see that even though they suffered for that time, it was worth it because their hope still lives on today, and what they did still lasts and is impacting people all over the world. Again, listen to these words that have survived a couple of thousand years. These were written to isolated people in times of trouble. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That was the first person, the author of Hebrews. Now we're going to look at a second person. His name was John, and he spent 3 years following Jesus as a very close companion. Some people even think John may have been Jesus' best friend. John wrote, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. With the naked eye, no one has seen the coronavirus. But through the powerful lens of a microscope, trained scientists have been able to identify the coronavirus and make it known to us. With the naked eye, no one has ever seen God. But according to John, Jesus has made God known to us through the lens of faith. This kind of faith is not blind. We have reasons to believe scientists who have identified viruses because we have experienced the effects of a virus. Also, we have reasons to believe the people from the first century who claim to be witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus because we have experienced the effect of their claims. They were willing to suffer and die, not for a belief. This wasn't about a belief or a set of belief system. They were willing to die because of what they claimed to see with their own two eyes. They claimed to see the resurrected Jesus Christ. They were part of an event that they experienced with their senses. According to John, a week after Jesus had resurrected, there was still one disciple who hadn't yet seen the resurrected Christ. His name was Thomas. He's got kind of a bad rap. People call him Doubting Thomas. But what happened with Thomas? He, like the other 11, like the other 10 who were still around, he hadn't seen Jesus, so he declared that he would not believe that Jesus had resurrected until he saw it with his own eyes. Again, a week after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples left, and he invited Thomas to see his hands and touch his scars. After Thomas saw with his physical senses, with his eyes, with his ears, with his touch, with everything, after he experienced Jesus and that Jesus had resurrected from the dead, then he believed. After Thomas expressed his belief, Jesus replied in John chapter 20, verse 29, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Jesus' comments were not an invitation to have blind faith and believe any claim without evidence. It was an acknowledgement that there is a benefit to those who have vision beyond what they can see. Jesus invites us to be people of faith, not so that we can be blind to reality. This kind of faith doesn't limit us merely to what we can see. It sees beyond. It can recognize the power of a force that is real but unseen. So what can we do? As we consider what it might look like to follow Jesus during these times, let's turn back to some practical advice from the unknown author of Hebrews. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." Listen to this. "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of the faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In the church, we believe that God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us, and then he came back from the dead. This impacts our perspective, how we see the world, how we see everything. For us, it means that even in dark times, we're people of hope. Suffering did not start with the coronavirus. All throughout history, bad things have happened to all people, including people of faith. We believe that unseen forces of evil, and Jesus said Satan, the enemy, the thief, likes to steal. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. Those unseen forces of evil, like disease, hatred, prejudice, and selfishness, have been at work causing suffering. But let's be people of faith. Let's trust that God is at work too. Let's fix the eyes of our heart on Jesus, who endured the suffering of the cross because he could see beyond what anybody else could see. He could see that joy was coming. Let's remember that Jesus endured opposition, and we can too. Let's not grow weary or lose heart. Today, if you sense the Spirit of God calling you to follow, I invite you to pray with me. God, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe with my heart that you raised him from the dead. I trust you to save me from whatever I need saved from. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned earlier that Jesus spoke about having eyes but not seeing and having ears but not hearing. After this, Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 13:16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." May we have eyes that see and ears that hear. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, coronavirus included. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.